Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com if you've missed any episodes in the past of Live by Every Word. The archives are available online at thetrumpet.com and at kpcg.fm. Now, recently we discussed some of the many benefits of Bible study, such an important part of our spiritual lives. And today, let's look at some methods that will enhance our studies. Bible study is so important to us because it affords a fascinating opportunity to enrich our lives. It will improve and enhance the quality and value of our lives. Bible study makes us wealthy spiritually, and its principles will even improve physical finances. So much valuable information contained in the Bible. We want to take advantage of that wealth of wisdom and knowledge and understanding that only comes from God's Word. We need to study the Bible daily to prove truth from the Scriptures. That's where truth comes from the Bible. Notice John 17. We'll look at a few passages today. And if you have a Bible, please get it out. Let's go through these together. John 17, verses 15 through 17. This is Christ praying, and he's talking to his Father, and he says, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. And so Christ is praying for his disciples that would come after him, his first fruits. Those people that God has called and opened their minds to his truth, and they've accepted that calling and have come to understand God's word and have been baptized and are using God's Holy Spirit. And there are many people in that process today. You might be one of them somewhere in that process. Sanctify means set apart as or declare holy, free from sin, purify. Living by God's word frees us from sin, and it purifies us. Christians must obey God's truth. A true Christian will obey the word of God. Christ said that God's word is truth. And now today, people often speak of having their truth. There's different varieties of truth, or what people hold to be true. Their truth. But there's no their truth. There is only one truth. That is the truth of God. God's word, that's the only truth that there is. God's word reveals God's plan for mankind, how God is working out that plan, and the prophetic events that shape today's world news. Without God's word, we don't have understanding into those subjects. When we study God's word, we find great hope and comfort in a world that increasingly needs more and more hope and comfort because it's losing hope. And it's hard to find comfort. Bible study gives us the answers to all of life's important questions. There's so much value in studying the Bible. So today, let's look at a few methods that are going to help us mine out this truth of God and understand His Bible more effectively. Now, one method of study that can be very effective is to conduct a word or a topic search. Mr. Armstrong wrote in Mystery of the Ages, he said, I learned that the Bible is like a jigsaw puzzle, thousands of pieces that need putting together, and the pieces will fit together in only one way. Then the picture becomes crystal clear to the one willing to believe what God our Creator says. So we have to have a willing attitude. We have to be willing to believe God. And we've all put a puzzle together, or attempted to, I think. And we know that it doesn't fit in multiple ways, it fits in one way. God's word fits together in one way. And so when we go and we look up a topic in the Bible, we have to look up the different references to it and start putting those scriptures together to get the complete picture of what God's saying. Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 10 shows that God's truth is revealed here a little and there a little in the Bible. Here a little and there a little. Put the pieces together. Let's look at an example of how to conduct a word or a topic study by starting in Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. Now, Galatians 5 lists the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. In verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." So, reading that is very beneficial. And we could say, well, one of the fruits of God's Spirit, as we read, is love. So that's great, love. What is love? We hear all kinds of things about love. We see shows about it, hear songs about it. What is love? See, if we just read that one of the fruits of God's Spirit is love and we go on our way, well, we know that, but maybe we don't know what love is. We need to look at other passages that talk about the love of God so we understand what it really means to have love. Let's look at this in 1 John 5 and verse 3, and we can put more of the puzzle together. Verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." So here we learn that to really love like God does, we have to keep his commandments. Now, have you ever thought of love that way? In most of the movies and songs about love that we may come across, very few make any mention of keeping God's law. In fact, most of that entertainment is based on breaking God's law. There's so many songs out there about love and movies and books and all kinds of things. But here, God's word shows us that the love of God is keeping his commandments. So I think we can see the value in finding out more about words or topics in the Bible. See, in the example of love that we just looked at, we could easily say, yes, I have a lot of love, but if we don't know that love is keeping God's commandments, we may not have as much love as we think, because then we have to start thinking about, okay, well, how well do I keep the commandments? See, that's the litmus test of how much love we have. We need the full picture, the full truth of God. And of course, there are a lot more passages that talk about love. And so there's more of the picture that can be filled in. But we just wanted to look at a couple of pieces today as an example. Thoroughly searching a word or a topic in the Bible gives us that full picture that we need to understand the truth of God. The Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, which you can sign up for free and take that at thetrumpet.com and enroll in it, it writes this: "A subject or topic study is especially useful to help you, in conjunction with prayer, to overcome a fault in your character. Are you too impatient? Study what God's Word says about patience or long-suffering. Do you have a bad temper? Study all the scriptures that refer to anger. Do you easily cave into temptation? Look through the Bible to learn how to fear God. Use this approach, and the Bible will be a great benefit to you." See, this is when the Bible begins to be a benefit to us. It's not just the book on the shelf that we know says some things that are good, we think. It's actually getting it out and going through it and using it very practically. When we do that, now look at the benefit that it has in our lives. Another way to study is to focus on a particular book of the Bible. Scriptures have more meaning to us when we understand the context in which they were written. And that's one of the main problems when people try to understand the Bible, is that oftentimes they take scriptures out of context. We need the full context. We need the full picture. The book of Matthew, for example, focuses on Christ as king. Now, often people think of Christ as a newborn babe, or they think of Christ being our sacrifice. But what about Christ ruling as king, actually ruling? Reading Matthew with the theme in mind helps us understand the Sermon on the Mount. So when we go through the book of Matthew and we understand the context, that it is about Christ being a king, and that's the theme, then his teachings take on even more weight for us. When we look at the Sermon on the Mount, for example, we see the kind of character that Christ is looking for in those he will need to rule with him, right? It's not just some nice sayings that are a good idea to follow. Christ's Sermon on the Mount is about how to be a king and what type of character we need to rule with Christ. It takes on a much greater weight and importance and a relevancy when we understand Christ's teachings in that context. Matthew 5 and verse 48, let's just look at one passage from that section of Scripture. Matthew 5 and verse 48 says, "Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Now that is the goal of every true Christian, to be perfect as the Father is perfect, to strive towards that perfection in this life, to grow up spiritually. Now reading the rest of Matthew 5 through 7 gives detailed instruction on how to do that, on how to live like God the Father and Jesus Christ live. Christ expounds the law of God. But again, remember, Christ taught this truth knowing that he was born to be King of kings and Lord of lords. And those that are called and chosen and faithful in this life will rule under him as those kings and lords, king priests. Matthew chapters 5 through 7 is Christ teaching his disciples how to be king priests. Understanding the context of the book of Matthew helps us understand the depth and power and purpose of Christ's teaching. So I think we can see that when we understand the context of a particular book in the Bible, we understand the depth of the teaching. There's more power to it. There's more weight to it. We understand the purpose for the teaching, and that makes a bigger impact in our lives. Now, after this short break, we're going to look at one other invigorating method of studying your Bible and give some advice about using Bible helps. They can be beneficial. We'll give you some information about that. You're listening to Live by Every Word right here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We'll be right back.
Throughout the Bible, God refers to human beings as his own children. Many people, however, say God just doesn't seem real to them. God is a great mystery. Yet, their human fathers don't seem like a mystery. Why does God seem unreal? In Mystery of the Ages, Herbert W. Armstrong answers that question. In this book, Mr. Armstrong strives to make God as real to you as your own human father. Do you realize that God, as described in the Holy Bible, is actually a family? That he calls human beings his children because he wants to be their father? This magnificent truth, once understood, will help you understand your Bible like never before. Mystery of the Ages will guide you in your study of God's Word and will make plain this incredible, seemingly unbelievable truth. We would like to offer you this book, Mystery of the Ages, absolutely free, no cost or obligation. In many ways, Mystery of the Ages is about Herbert Armstrong's close personal relationship with God the Father. It contains a powerful message that God revealed to Mr. Armstrong during their constant contact, their continual conversation that lasted for nearly six decades. If you thoroughly study Mystery of the Ages along with your Bible, you will get to know God. Request your free copy of Mystery of the Ages today. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word.
Welcome back to Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Today we're looking at some ways to help our Bible study. In the first half, we looked at conducting a word or topic search and also focusing on a particular book in the Bible. Those are some ways to really enhance our study. Now, one other method that can be helpful in Bible study is to study the lives of noteworthy individuals. They were people just like you and I are people. We have our trials and our tests and our struggles and our successes, and so did the people whose lives are recorded in the pages of the Bible. The Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course says, "Obviously, the life of Jesus Christ is the best example. How did he react to situations when he was challenged, when he was very tired, when his friends let him down? How did he stay on track and endure? What was his motivation? A fascinating study is to read through the Gospels, focusing on Christ's reactions under different circumstances. And we can note the qualities he exhibited and ask ourselves, how would we react? How should we react according to his example? And so that is a fascinating study. We have situations occur in our lives that are very similar to what Christ experienced. You know, he was very tired at times. We've all had days where we're very tired. How do we handle that type of a day? The pressures of a day like that. How about if we had a friend let us down? How do we handle that situation? How did Christ stay on track and endure when he had difficulties and tests and trials? Well, we look at his example. It's a perfect example. And then we can work to emulate that. We can look at one example from Christ's life in Matthew 26. This is just an amazing example. And this is just before Christ was taken and falsely accused and scourged and ultimately crucified. Now, Christ knew what he was about to suffer. And he knew he was about to suffer more than any person has ever suffered. And if you haven't looked into it too much, there are plenty of passages in the Bible that reveal exactly how intense that suffering was. The fact that he didn't even look like a man after the beating that he endured. He knew he was going to suffer, and he suffered intensely. And, of course, as a human, that's something that nobody would want to do. So that's the situation he was dealing with here in Matthew 26. Notice verses 38 and 39. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. I mean, what an example Christ set. As it says there, he was exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And that's an incredible amount of sorrow, a very deep sorrow. And yet he didn't sin in that. He went and he prayed to his Father, and he said, Not my will, but yours be done. Even though he was in the worst trial and entering into the worst trial any human ever will face. In intense trial, Christ prayed to his Father for help. And above all, he wanted his Father's will to be done. And that is the example for all Christians. Christ perfectly submitted to his Father's will, even when facing the greatest of all trials. And we all face trials at times. And so here's an example for us to think about in those times. Christ went before us, and he set a perfect example of how to handle trials. Christ's example is a blueprint for Christians to follow in every aspect of life, but in this time of trial as well that he was going through. And when we have trials, that's an example to go back and study and to look at what Christ did and how he handled it. Hebrews 11 is another great study aid in terms of looking at people in the Bible and their examples. It's the faith chapter. This chapter is full of men and women who faithfully obeyed God and set a wonderful example for us today. Paul mentions about 20 individuals in the context of faith. And we can study their lives and try to put ourselves in their shoes. And what would we have done in those situations? He mentions Abraham, Sarah, Moses, and plenty of others as well. Now, they weren't perfect people. I mean, only Christ was perfect. But they learned to have faith in God. And their faith was tried. It was tested. And true Christians, those that are baptized and have God's Holy Spirit active in their lives and are being led by that Spirit, are going through the same process today, learning to rely on God, learning to have faith. And studying the lives of these biblical personalities helps us in our lives because, again, we all face similar situations. Notice this in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. It says, There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So no matter what trial or test you might be facing, others have faced it as well. And it's easy to feel alone in a trial. But here, it's being brought out that everybody's faced trials, and there's not a person out there that is facing a trial that there hasn't been somebody else that's faced the same trial. We've all had different trials and tests and experiences, not all the same, but certainly there are people that have had similar ones to what we might be going through. Many of those situations are recorded in the Bible for our example. Notice that in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, just back a few verses. It says, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Why is Hebrews 11 recorded? It's for us. It's an example for us, so that we can look at how they handled situations, and we can look at some of the mistakes, but we can also look at the successes, and we can learn from it. It's there for us if we'll go and study it and live by every word of God. Put those examples into practice in our lives. Emulate the good ones, avoid the bad ones. Very valuable for us as we go through this life. Now, finally, a quick word about Bible helps in studying the Bible and looking at some of these different methods. Oftentimes, we may want to use a Bible help to aid us in our study. And this is taken from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course. Some information here about Bible helps. It says, "Bible study helps are not necessary to become well acquainted with the Bible and God's way of life." And the example of Apollos is given in Acts 18:24. He didn't have any Bible helps, but he was mighty in the scriptures. But nevertheless, in today's world, Bible helps can be useful. So it's not a necessity, but they can certainly be useful, primarily in matters of translation and as time-saving tools. So they can be useful, but we have to be careful in how we use them. Study Bibles, identify themes, and provide outlines for each book of the Bible, along with some commentary, among other things. And it says these can be used to get an overview of a particular book, but, and here's an important thing to consider, the commentary provided can sometimes be misguided, because the authors do not have the framework of God's overall plan for man as revealed to his apostles and prophets. A lot of the research that is put into different commentaries and different Bible helps can be good in terms of grammar or in terms of maybe some geography or sometimes some dates too, depending. But a lot of cases, those writers did not have God's Spirit. Concordances can be a time-saving tool. Strong's Exhaustive Concordance especially, because you can go through there and find scriptures that have different topics and different words, and those things can be very helpful when you're studying a particular topic or subject or looking for a particular word. And you can find the root word from the Hebrew or Greek as well, and so sometimes it can add more understanding to a particular word. And sometimes the scriptures that relate to a specific subject are not easily found in a concordance because the subject is broader than just one word used in the Bible. And in those cases, topical books can be very useful. So there's quite a few things that can be used. Also, a Bible dictionary can be helpful. It gives information about biblical words, people, places, and things, and can really help in just some of that study. Bible commentaries can sometimes shed light on biblical passages and link things together in a way we might not think of. It says, though, and notice this, they should, however, only be relied upon to establish historical or grammatical facts. Commentaries are more apt to be off track than other Bible helps because the authors have more room to insert their own thoughts and ideas. They often deal with speculation that does not emanate from the Spirit of God. And so you have to be careful, as we all do, in using study helps. They can be helpful in some things, Bible aids, but when it comes to commentaries and so forth, again, the writers did not have God's Spirit. And so because of that, they did not understand God's plan as revealed to his apostles and prophets. Have to be careful with the Bible study aids. If you need more information on that, there's some really good write-ups at thetrumpet.com that can guide you, or you can write in a letter to the Personal Correspondence Department. Send an email in to them if you'd like to do it that way, and they can give you some specific details to help with Bible study aids that might be beneficial to you. There's lots of wonderful, wonderful truth to dig out of God's Word. And so when we get into our studies and we really look at different words and topics and subjects and personalities and understand the overviews of books, it just really makes God's Word come alive in our lives. And then it's our job to take it and to live by every word of it. Thanks for joining me today. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.